This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, so we're on the Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, Rosh Hashanah, and this is the Gemara that we started looking at last time, and I hope you've had a chance to look at it subsequently. And we'll get into aspects of the Tosfos. So the Mishnah itself is a little bit difficult to understand. The Mishnah tells us is that there are 2 months of the year for which the Eidim can be Mechalel Shabbos to come and give Eidus. That's Nisan and Tishrei. And it seems that the Mishnah is giving 2 reasons for that. The one is Shebohen Shluchin Yotzin L'Suriyah, because those are the months on which Shluchin go out to Suriyah. And B, the second reason seems to be Uvohen Metachnin Samadus, and those months determine the dates of all the Yom Tovim. Seems to be that there are 2 reasons given. Rashi says, Shebohem Shluchim Beizdin Sholchin L'Suriyah L'Hodiya L'Goylo Yom Kiviyusom. Beizdin sends Eidim out to Shluchim out to Suriyah to tell them the day of the Kliyus HaChodesh. Hilkach Hashivi, that's why they are Choshuv. So in the first reason, Rashi seems to be saying there's a Hashivus, there's a kind of importance attached to them because we send Shluchim out those months. If we go back originally, you're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos for all the months. Eidim are allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos to come and give Eidus. And we discussed in quite some detail why that is so. Avo Rabbonin Osru, but the Rabbonin said no, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Lefi She'en Tikkun HaMoed is totally Bohem, V'lo Ichpas L'malon L'chasun Al-Pi Eidim. So the Rabbanon stopped and said, there's no point in the Chilul Shabbos because there's no benefit to us. It makes no difference to us to know what day Rosh Chodesh is exactly. That these 2 months they kept as Din Torah, because all the Moados are dependent on them. All the Yomim Tovim are dependent on them. So here Rashi seems to fuse the 2 reasons together and says, these months are Choshev. Why are they Choshev? Because Eidim go out. Why do Eidim go out? Well, they used to go out on all the months, and these are the months that were left for Eidim to go out because there's enough community, there's a relevance, there's an outcome for that, and that's why they left. So it's not all that clear from Rashi. Is this 1 reason? Is it 2? When the Mishnah says that on these months the Eidim are allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos, Shevohem Shluchin Yotzim B'Suriyah. Uvohen metaknin esamoyadus should be shebohen metaknin esamoyadus, really shouldn't it be on those days the shluchim go out because these are the months that they're metaknin esamoyadus. But it's not very clear from Rashi. Then the Gemara goes on to say, are those the only months that we send out shluchim? Don't we say that there's 6 months that shluchim go out on? Answers the Gemara, al kulon shluchim yotzi mibo erev al nisan val tishrei ad shishmo bipi beizdin mekudash. The difference is, you're right, there are 6 months that Eidim go out to Suriyah, but only for these months do they need to stay until they've heard Mekudach. They can't go out on the assumption that there's going to be a Rosh Chodesh the next day. They actually have to have heard the declaration of Rosh Chodesh. How do we know that you can be Mechal Shabbos? Talmud Lomer, Eilim Adrei Hashem Asher Tikru Oison B'Moyadom. These are the Moyadim of Hashem, which you must declare at their right time. Yochol Kushem Shemechalim Ad Shizkad Shukach Mechalim Ad Shizkaimu. I might have thought that just as you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, that means to bring in Eidus to Yerushalayim, so you can be Mechal Shabbos to diffuse the information out of Yerushalayim. Tamud Lom Hashem Tikru Esom Al Kriyosom Ato Mechal V'yato Mechal Al Kiyumam. Chilul Shabbos is permitted to ensure that the kriyo is at the right time, the declaration of Rosh Chodesh is the right time, but not the kiyum, the moadim, the yom tovim, the shluchim have to go out without Chilul Shabbos. They don't travel on Shabbos. And it's because they don't travel on Shabbos that these 2 months are so critical as far as the Chilul Shabbos of the Eidim is concerned. Because as Rashi explained, if Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos and the Eidim don't come on Shabbos, so we'll end up making Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, that means that there will be two Shabbosim that they won't be able to travel before Pesach or Sukkot.
Well, it takes, what, 14 days, we said, or something 12. To go to?
Well, it would have been 12 days, and there's one with one Shabbos they can make it, but two Shabbosim they miss it. So it becomes critical that they get that the information comes on time for those 2 months. That's what Rashi explained. Let's get into this.
Why they depend on that 12 days as if that 12 days would be like that forever? Why, you know, normally they don't, in the Gemara, there's not things that are set with situational, you know, in other words, using that 12 days doesn't seem to fit with the way I understand Gemara.
You mean, why doesn't it make allowances for the fact that today we can travel faster?
Yes.
Well, in Halacha, we would then do that. So
they could have done it with lights on mountains, or maybe they could do it in 11 days.
You know, why don't we just find a camel? Why don't we just find a quicker way to do it?
Sorry.
In order to avoid the Chilul Shabbos. Because really, the purpose of this is not to figure out how to get there in 12 days. It's to figure out, given the parameters, does the Torah allow Chilul Shabbos or doesn't it?
Okay.
So we're kind of working backwards. It's not, we could be ingenious and figure out a way, but that's not what the...
It's an a priori.
It's an a priori assumption, exactly right. We're working backwards. Let's look at Tosfos. Al Nisan v'Tishrei ad Shishmu v'Pi Beis Din Mekudash. V'Hashtoa now says Tosfos, now that the Gemara has explained what the Mishnah means, Masnisin Diktani Shebohen Shluchin Yotzin, this statement of the Mishnah, Shebohen Shluchin Yotzin, Hainu La'achar Shiyishmu Mipi Beis Din Mekudash. So how do we read the Mishnah now? If we look back at the Mishnah, Al Shnei Chodoshim Mechalalim Es HaShabbos Al Nisan V'Al Tishrei. Why? Shebohen Shluchin Yotzin L'Suryo. Because on those months, the Shluchim have to wait until they've heard Mekudash before they can go out of Surya. That's how you're now going to read the Mishnah. Unetinas tam, and that's giving a reason. Shabohem shluchim yoytzin l'suria is a reason. Delekach mechalin alei Hashabbos edim shuru es achodesh. That's why the edim are allowed to be mechalin on their way on when they've seen Rosh Chodesh. So Tosfos seems to be implying before the Gemara reinterpreted the Mishnah, I didn't regard altish shabohem shluchim yoytzin as a reason. Merely as almost as a description that two months on which the Eidim, on which Shluchim go out, you can be Mechal Shabbos for because Yom Tov is fixed by them. Now we're reading it differently. The 2 months on which Eidim are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos are Tishrei and Nisan because Shluchim go out on those months. That's what Tosfos. So look carefully in the Tosfos, you'll see that's what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos says,
So Shebohen, the Mishnah is in which, not because?
So the Shebohen is now because. The way we were reading it was in which.
Oh, okay.
It's nearly qualifying Nisan and Tishrei.
Oh.
And now Tosfos says it's Netinas Tam.
Oh.
Okay, you notice that in Tosfos? So Tosfos is saying not only are we reinterpreting the Mishnah in terms of the meaning of the words, but even the role of that phrase from, instead of being a qualifying phrase that qualifies the months of Tishrei and Nisan, it's now giving reason. And what is the reason? The Firish Bekundras. Why? The Eidim will only go out the next day. Shein Beis Din Mekadshim Belaila, because Beis Din can't declare Kiddush HaChodesh at night, so Saturday night they can't declare it, they'll have to declare it Sunday morning. Nimtzu Memartim Yiluchim Malach Laila V'Yosef. That does them out of at least one night and possibly more of travel time. So that's how Rashi explained why this is Netinas Tam. Okay, so again, what Tosfos has done is reposition the phrase. Once the Gemara has said that what this means is Al Kulan Shluchin Yotzin Mibe'erev Al Nisan V'Atishrei Ad Shishmu Beis Din Mekudash, that reinterprets the phrase of Shebohen from being a qualifying phrase to being an Atinas Tam. The reason that they're able to be Mechal Shabbos is because the Shluchim go out. What's that relevant? That's relevant because it does them out of a day of travel, and that could mean they don't get to their destination before Yom Tov. That's how Rashi learns it.
So if I just say it outside, it's because they travel, we allow them to Mechalel Shabbos to say, to make sure there's no extra waste.
That's not because they travel, it's because they're only allowed to travel after they've heard Mekudash.
Right.
That we allow the Eidim to be Mechalel Shabbos. If they were allowed to travel before they hear Mekudash, as with the other months, then it wouldn't matter if the Eidim weren't Mechalel Shabbos, because they could leave at night. But since they've got to hear Mekudash, they can't leave Motzei Shabbos.
Right.
Since they can't leave Motzei Shabbos, they're going to miss at least 12 hours of travel time.
So therefore we allow them to...
The Eidim to be Mechalel Shabbos, to come on Shabbos, so that the Shluchim can leave on Motzei Shabbos.
So basically just to make sure we have an announcement no later than Motzei Shabbos.
Right. In fact, we can even have an announcement on Shabbos afternoon late. They could even make an announcement if no Eidim have come on Shabbos. If Eidim are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos but they didn't come, Beis Din can make an announcement just before nightfall on Shabbos afternoon to say tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh, and then the Eidim can leave Motzei Shabbos.
And why is it that the Eidim have to hear at Motzei Shabbos to leave?
So that we're going to go into today, but it would appear for some reason because Bohem Metaknei Samuados, that's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. Because those are the days that the Gemara, the Chachomim left it the way it was in the Torah, because those are the important days for Yom Tovim. So you're asking, well, that's all very well if there's a chance that the 30th day will be Rosh Chodesh. So I understand they've got to wait. But if the whole of the 30th day is gone and no Eidim have come, why can't they go that night? Because we know the next day will be Rosh Chodesh. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
That's Tosfos' question too. Okay? Very good. You're spot on.
I understand, because it seems more subtle than it's presented here. The only savings is because if Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos and it's declared on Shabbos, then they're going to leave Motzei Shabbos, which will give them that night's travel plus 12 full travel days. Whereas if it goes to Sunday, because the Sunday they can't, the final Sunday, that means Pesach is on a Sunday, which means they can't go to Shabbos before, which means they're only going to get 11 travel days. Plus, as soon as they hear the announcement, so they get 11 plus a half. But the only net savings then is because on months when they can declare Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, they get more time. But on months where they can't declare Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, it's still the same problem.
How do you mean months where they can't declare?
It doesn't make any difference. Right, but it means that frequently they only have 11 plus days to go.
Yes, but
anyway.
What? They'll go the 12 days, and they'll get there on the 16th of the month. So what?
It doesn't matter because there's no holidays.
There's no Yom Tov on months other than Nisan and Tishrei.
Right. No, but I'm worried about Nisan. So when they go out on Nisan, the only every time it comes out on a Sunday, they're stuck anyway with only 11 days of travel. And all they're saying is by allowing witnesses, if they can declare it on Shabbos, then they're going to get an extra time. They get more time on that.
That's if, yeah, if it could have been the 30th, if Shabbos was the 30th, and the witnesses come on the 30th, they can leave Motzei Shabbos.
Right.
If the 30th is Sunday, is that what you're asking?
Right.
If the 30th is Sunday...
Or witnesses don't come on Shabbos.
If witnesses don't come on Shabbos, they can then Motzei Shabbos, they can go already, because Beis Din can declare a Kodesh on Shabbos afternoon.
They can declare Shabbos for the next day?
For the next
Shabbos
day.
Afternoon.
Just before the evening, they can declare for the next day.
I see.
So your only question would be if it's a 30-day month.
Right, well, if it comes out that Rosh Chodesh is going to be either Sunday or Monday instead, it's not a Shabbos issue at all, then it seems they only have, if it comes out on the first day, they only have 11 plus days. If it comes out on Sunday, you only have 11 and a half days to travel anyway. So the whole thing here is we're trying to make it so if it comes out on Shabbos, they get to take advantage of the extra time. But
otherwise, even if it comes out on a Wednesday, they're going to have two Shabbos in the way.
Right, but here they're stuck between, because Shabbos, if it comes out on Sunday, you have Shabbos Sunday. Sunday is Yom Tov, and they can't go on Yom Tov either. So they're stuck on the Friday before.
So you're asking if what do you gain by this, and if it works out.
If under normal circumstances they only get 11 travel days, so they, on this time they have special. So if it comes on Shabbos, they can get 12 travel days. But what?
Because it has to be, because at any time other than Rosh Chodesh being on Shabbos, there are two Shabbosos between the two full Shabbos between the between Rosh Chodesh and the holiday. Is that right?
Right.
So if they leave on Motzi Shabbos, then they have extra time than any other time. If it comes any other day other than Shabbos, then they don't have as much time as if it comes on Shabbos.
Right.
So it's already like icing on the cake.
Now you see, I think it would work out that if Sunday is day 30, then Eidim would come on Sunday, and they would be Mekadesh on Sunday, and they would leave on Sunday.
Right. But they would still only give them 11 plus days to travel, as opposed to on Shabbos. So
well, then when would Rosh Chodesh, when would Yom Tov land up falling? When would the 15th be? On Monday,
the following
Monday.
It'll be on Sunday also.
Would it? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday.
Right.
So it would be Sunday 2 weeks later.
Right.
So they would have Sunday to travel, or part of at least Sunday night.
The first Sunday, right.
They would have Sunday night to travel, which seems okay. What we're worried about them is losing that night. So Motzei Shabbos also, if they can leave Motzei Shabbos, we're fine. We're worried about them is not having been able to leave until Sunday morning.
Even though the Rosh Chodesh was on Saturday.
So from Sunday night is enough travel. The problem is if they only leave on Monday morning. From Motzei Shabbos is enough travel. The only problem is if they only leave on Sunday morning.
Right, but if a normal month is declared on, if the 30th was Sunday,
right, then we would know
Saturday night.
If the 30th was, then they would have seen the new moon on Saturday night.
They would have seen the new moon. They would have declared on Sunday morning.
They could leave early Sunday morning.
They could leave as soon as they're based in Mensa.
Right.
But then that gives them less than 12 days to travel.
But it's enough. It gives them the required amount of time. When it says the 12 days, it doesn't even have to be 12 full days. I think it's 11 and a half days they're worried about. Because if they leave if Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, and
right,
they can only leave on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, that's what we're worried about. If Shredish is on Shabbos and they only leave on Sunday morning, they've lost Motzei Shabbos.
Right, but that's a half day more than they usually have because they get the advantage of the Shabbos and Yantif fall out on the same day.
It means that
because the first, the 8th, and the 15th will all be.
So let's just try that.
So they only have one Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, they only have to sit out one Shabbos.
But let's see how many days in total. If Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos,
on the calendar,
If Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, and they leave on Sunday morning, okay, then they've got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They haven't got Shabbos. They've then got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's 10. Thursday, Friday. They haven't got Shabbos, and they've got the following Sunday.
Sunday
is already. So that's 12. That's 12 without it. Okay, so that's 12 without it.
But Sunday is a half day.
But that's okay. That half day seems to be enough.
Night and Sunday morning.
If they leave at Sunday night, if they leave on Sunday morning, then we're counting the Sunday in, and that's okay. Then it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's 12 days from Sunday morning. If they can only leave, that's if they leave on Sunday morning.
Right, after they hear the declaration, right. But if it's declared.
But if Shabbos was, then they're missing a day because, is that right? If they leave on Sunday morning and Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh, then they haven't got 12 days.
They
pick up a full day at the end because they don't have to wait for Yantav, because Yantav and Shabbos come out together. If Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos,
right?
So then they're going to have, they can leave, if they leave Motzei Shabbos.
They can't leave Motzei Shabbos, they'll only be able to leave on, if the Eidim couldn't come during the day, the only time they'll be able to leave is Monday.
I'm saying what happens, what we buy by having this, because the Eidim get to come on during Shabbos, and they declare on Shabbos, and they leave Motzei Shabbos. So they get to leave Motzei Shabbos, and then they have all day Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all day Monday, Tuesday. So they have 12 full days, plus they get to leave the night before. So they have 12 plus days. All the other cases, if it was on Sunday, they had 12. They didn't get 12 full days. They had to leave Sunday morning, and that counted as one of the 12 days. So they didn't get that.
The night. All they missed the night.
Right. So the whole difficulty they're going through here is to make it so, in the event that it's Shabbos, they have more time than they normally do. So that doesn't make any sense. Why are we worried about giving them more? If they can normally do it when it's on a Sunday, why do they have to worry about it?
If it's on a Sunday, because then they're starting a day later. If they're doing it on if Rosh Chodesh is on a Sunday, they can leave Sunday morning. That means they leave the morning of Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
If Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos, they leave the morning after Rosh Chodesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but the difference is, but the difference is they get to pick up a day because they don't have to lose both the Shabbos and the Yom Tov.
If they leave on Sunday, if they leave on Sunday, but in both cases they leave on Sunday morning. The question is whether Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday or on Shabbos.
Right, so they can leave Motzi Shabbos. If we're going to say they can leave in the evening, if not, they can leave before they declare it.
Let's say they can only leave Sunday morning because they didn't dare to come on Shabbos.
Right.
So the earliest they can leave is Sunday morning. If they leave Sunday morning and Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh, then they're leaving the day after Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
If they leave on Sunday morning and Sunday was Rosh Chodesh, they're leaving the day of Rosh Chodesh.
But they have to make it by Friday. It's the same.
In both cases,
it's not because you have to look at the end game. At the end, if Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos, then at the end you're going to have.
So when is Yom Tov?
Shabbos and Yom Tov for the same day.
Right, if the next day is Shabbos on Sunday, but they've got to get them Friday in any case.
Sunday, then right. That means they lose Shabbos and Sunday.
No, because Sunday is Yom Tov. They've got to get there before Shabbos in any case.
Right, they have to get there before Shabbos.
In both cases, they've got to get there at the same time.
If it's on Sunday, they have to wait for the calling, and if it's on Shabbos, they can leave before the calling. So that's all they're going to pick up by having been on Shabbos. They get those additional hours.
Because Rosh Chodesh is a day earlier.
But they have to make it on Friday.
In both cases, they've got to get there by Friday afternoon.
Right. So if it actually is on Sunday, they only have half a day Sunday, and then until the following Friday. If it's on Shabbos, they have it from Motzi Shabbos until the following Friday.
So you're saying, why don't we make them go just on Sunday morning? And it will be no worse than a day when it's a 30-day Sunday.
But they can't, they have no time to travel if the Yom Tov is on Sunday, they have no time to travel after Shabbos. They leave on Saturday night. They'll leave on two complete weekdays of weekdays. But if Eidim don't come until the next day, until Sunday, Shabbos before Pesach, they've got to stand still. They don't have 12 full days. So you're asking, but nor would they have 12 full days if Sunday was Rosh Chodesh. If Sunday was the 30th, then it was Rosh Chodesh. Then you're saying they also wouldn't have 12 full days.
The 30th is Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh is the Shabbos. So the moon doesn't come out. So then they leave Sunday morning.
Well, the moon's there, but the Eidim don't come.
Oh, okay. So.
Then they would make Sunday Rosh Chodesh. No, in both cases it's the same. If there are no Eidim on Shabbos, they would be Ma'abe the Chodesh. Sunday would be Rosh Chodesh in both cases.
But they have to wait until Mikudash, so they have to wait until Sunday night, I think, if it was decided on Sunday, don't they?
Well, not if it was a 31-day month. If it was a 31-day month, yes. But I think what they're asking is, what happens if it was a 30-day month, and Sunday was the 30th day? Eidim could have come on Sunday morning, said, we saw the moon last night, and Sunday morning they could be off. And that way they would have 12 days.
Not 12 full days.
They would have 12 days less a night. So if Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, but the Eidim only come on Sunday, then they would also have 12 days less a night, unless... That's because Sunday would be Rosh Chodesh, is what you're arguing. Is that right? If the Eidim didn't come on Shabbos, we would make Sunday Rosh Chodesh.
Okay, so what you're asking might be a proof
for what we have to say tonight. Just hold on to that. You're saying, if Sunday is Rosh Chodesh, if the Eidim didn't come on Motzei Shabbos, we would make Sunday Rosh Chodesh. If we made Sunday Rosh Chodesh, it would be the same as if Sunday was day 30 and Rosh Chodesh. So what's the big deal? Okay, I think we'll answer it. Let's go a little bit further. So that, he says, is Rashi. V'dova tema perusha. Have you got that in the Tosfos? V'dova tema perusha. And Rashi's perush is strange. Shetolo tam chilul ha'edim biyetzias hashluchim. That he says the reason that the way Rashi's learned, as we said, is that the reason the Eidim can be Mechalel Shabbos is because Shluchim go out. Hoki mikla yom shloshim de elul b'Shabbos. There's another problem, says Rashi, says Tosfos. If the 30th of Elul was Shabbos, v'ro Eidim is achodesh, and the witnesses saw it, al kochom tzuchim lechalel, they have to be Mechalel. Why? V'lo b'Shabbos. Di'ima achrim ad echod b'Shabbos, because if they delayed until Sunday, hayom mikla yom arov b'Shabbos. What would happen? Sorry. Okay. In the Vedava Tema is just alongside the Mishnah. See where the Mishnah starts in the
Gemara. Yeah,
right. Vedava Tema. Have you got that in the Tosfos?
Yes.
Yeah. So it says Tosfos. Remember the rule with Gemara. Always the finger.
Yes,
the finger is about almost as important as the head. Says Tosfos, if Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh and they didn't come, then we would declare Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. If we declare Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, what day does Sukkot fall?
Sunday.
If Sukkot falls on Sunday, what day does Rosh Hashanah Rabbah fall?
Shabbos.
And that we can't have. Which already answers your problem. So Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is never on a Sunday. Because if Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is on a Sunday, we've got to meddle with it in any case. We can't have Rosh Chodesh Tishrei on a Sunday.
I didn't know also Shabbos on
that.
Because it's 7 days. So it says, you don't have to come onto this whole story of the Eidim going out. And if Eidim saw Rosh Chodesh Tishrei on a Shabbos, we've got to let them come, because if they don't come, we mess up everything. This Tosfos is kasha. So Nissan, you're right. So Nissan, it wouldn't be v'dachin and lay mishum arove. We'll push it off because of the arove. K'damim b'feri gulav arove. Umiyu and Nissan v'aday tzarik tam. I understand that for Nissan, it's Nissan you need the reason. Says Tosfos. Umas Nissan pirush akuntrus shebohem shluchin yotzin hilke chashivi. On the Mishnah, he says Rashi explained it a little bit differently. Rashi says on the Mishnah the reason the shluchin going out is because they're important months. Klomar lefi sheshluchin yotzin bohem mishum takonas moradus. Since the shluchim go out on those days because those days are important because of Yom Tov, ro'i la'edim l'chalel la'em Shabbos k'dei she'ikbu moedus bizmana. It's right that the edim should be mechalel Shabbos so that the Yom Tov will be fixed on the right time. Why do we send shluchim out? Rashi on the Mishnah still, this is before we modify the Mishnah. Why do we send shluchim out those months? Because those months determine Yom Tov. If those months determine Yom Tov, it's right that there should be chilul Shabbos and we know exactly what their Yom Tov is. But here still, Rashi is explaining that the reason for Chilul Shabbos is she is kadesh haChodesh bizmanay, in order that the Rosh Chodesh should be on the right time. So it's all about Rosh Chodesh being on the right time. So he acknowledges that Nissan you would have the same problem for, and one needs there. But what he's saying is that however you learn Rashi, whether Rashi on the Mishnah or Rashi on the Gemara, the main reason for the Chilul Shabbos is to make sure that Rosh Chodesh is on the right day. So what do you need this Yetziah Shluchim? So let's get back to the core. The core really is, you can be Mechalel Shabbos on those 2 months, because we have to know what day Rosh Chodesh is on those 2 months. Well, let me do a Shluchim. Even if we weren't sending Shluchim, and even if we could radiate it by... by radio, whatever it is, you would still need to know what the Rosh Chodesh is those months.
It has to be on Saturday, because if nobody showed up, it would automatically
go on Sunday. On Sunday. So we've got to make it on. Right,
so
exactly.
No Eidim show up on Shabbos, and they know by Cheshbon that it's supposed to be on Shabbos for Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, right? Then what do they do? If no Eidim show up by the end of the day Shabbos,
then they have to do it Sunday. Then they would still have to, well, for Tishrei, they wouldn't have to do it Sunday.
Shabbos,
for Tishrei, they would have to do it Shabbos, and it kind of means that they haven't been Mekadosh Et HaKodesh Al Pi HaRi'ah.
Okay,
which is a chiyuv d'oraisa that they've missed.
And the time of the and for the korbanos for the times of the Beis Hamikdash, for the korbanos
at the times of the then it would have been, they would have needed every month because of the Rosh Chodesh korbanos.
Right, but
no,
Tishrei, they still, if they didn't have,
they would have missed the korbanos.
if they wait to the end of the day to receive the Eiders and they don't get it.
Yeah, but we're talking after them. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they were able to be Mechal Shabbos every month. That wasn't an issue. This is all talking about after the Beis Hamikdash.
But if it's the 30th, mm-hmm. if it's the 30th on Elul,
right.
and there's no Eidim, they come to the end of the day.
Right.
What do they do?
They will.
They knew they had to make it that day.
It's got to be that day. They'll put in Mekadosh. They'll be Mekadosh until the last possible time they can bring Korbanos.
Right.
And if they're not Korban Eidim, they'll bring the Korbanos.
Okay, so they're doing it in the afternoon.
They'll do it in the afternoon.
Did they bring Rosh Chodesh Korbanos and Rosh Chodesh this
time? Yes.
We don't say.
But I think we make reference to it. Then we say Milvad. And in the Musaf, I think we say apart from the Tomid and the Chodesh.
So they would rather be over on that than have to be over on Hashanah Rabbah.
Yeah, Hashanah Rabbah they can't do anything about. Right. So then, what's this reason of Shluchin? Eino elo liyapos liyashiv tam achilu. This is called liyapos atam, to make the reason more attractive. So it's not for logic, you don't need it. You can prove the whole thing without it. But it's liyapos atam. Now, we have to understand what that means. What does it mean, liyapos atam, to make the reason more beautiful? Since when do we make reasoning beautiful? What is the beauty of the reasoning? We'll see that in a moment. There are things in the Gemara where the reason is not dependent on that particular thing. But they are brought as a supporting reason, although you don't need them for the logic. They're brought as a supporting reason, liyashvoi uliyaposu, to make it sit more nicely and to make it more beautiful. Don't try this in your logic class tomorrow. Don't tell them about this, they won't get it. It says that you don't add a month because of the gedim and the tzloim. That means if you find that the month you want the little goats and the lambs to be born at a time where it's not too cold, so maybe you make an ibur so that if you ma'abir the shona, I guess it affects the birth times and it pushes the birth times more into the springtime. But you make it as a sad. That can't be your reason for making an ibur. We advise you, when you announce the ibur, you say, we want to advise you that the young animals are tender, and so we're adding a month. That's not the reason we're doing it, but that's called liyapui sisatam. So that gives us a sense of what yipui hatam means. What does yipui hatam now mean?
Like a bonus.
Well, it what it really is it gives a human dimension to something which is otherwise purely mathematical.
Totally logical.
And that's the
reason. Because it's better for us to have the carbonus, more carbonus, is that the idea?
Yeah, I don't remember what the sugya is there. We should actually look up in Sanhedrin what the reasoning, what the relevance was of the Gedim and the Tzaloyim. But it shows a kind of a human care. Now, that wasn't the reason. They used to calculate when to do the Ibur Shono based purely on mathematics. But when they announced it, they didn't say, our mathematical calculation is that there's an extra month. They introduced a human dimension. Mm-hmm. Because we're concerned about the Gedim and the Tzloim and their tender, we've added a month. Although that's not the reason.
That they were saying it's like, it's nice when the animals give birth in Nisan or whatever they are in ER, and people have in mind what ER is, and that's the time the animals give birth, and therefore they're going to change the calendar, so they're going to give birth.
Although that's not the reason they change it. The same as here, the Shluchim Yotzin, so we want the Shluchim to have their full 12 days, or whatever the reason is, so we're doing it because of the Shluchim Yotzin. So that's not the reason you do it. You do it because you want to know what Rosh Chodesh is. But when we announce it, we say Shluchim Yotzin, so as to give a human dimension to what would otherwise be a cold mathematical piece of analysis.
Which you said originally, I think, when we were discussing the whole purpose. Because we know when everything is, we know when Rosh Chodesh, we know this. You said it's simply almost a formality.
No, that was something else. There I was saying that the reason we need Eidim is to align empirical information with experiential information.
This is kind of, well.
Experiential information with purely empirical information. But here this is another dimension. Here we're saying when we give the reason, you add a poetic component. It's almost poetic. You add a bit of an image, a bit of a human element of it when you communicate your reason, even though that wasn't really your reason. A little influence of Yefes. So I'm trying to think of where you would use this in situations like now.
We say when you put up a satellite and you take pictures of the Earth, and you say, oh, they're beautiful pictures.
Well, that's an idea that's in the beauty.
We weren't, as if that was the purpose, was to get beautiful
pictures. Right, that's not the purpose, but you might as well appreciate that too. I remember when my father used to give a long drosh on second night Yom Tov, he would come home and say to my mother, I gave especially long drosha so that you would have time to prepare because, you know, after you can only start taking out Yom Tov. That wasn't always the reason that he gave a long drosha. But, yeah. But the so sometimes you add in, although that's not the reason you did it, it's legitimate to add a human dimension to make something more beautiful, to make something more relevant, to make something more human. And that's for example, we use that the way we learn Gemara. So we learn Gemara, and as you see with each sugya, we try and develop the human dimension of that sugya. What's the human dimension? Not that that's what determines the thing. You can work the Gemara out logically. You can work the Gemara out mathematically. You don't need the human element in order to work the Gemara out. But once you've worked it out, it's nice liyapos at that time to find the human dimensions, to understand the relevance of it, and what it does for the quality of life, the new insights it gives you. That's not necessary. That's why in yeshivas, you say, well, in yeshivas they don't do it. They just work it out mathematically. Correct, because in yeshivas they're just learning the methodology, the maths of the learning. How do you learn it out? But there's another important dimension of it. What does it mean to me? So yes, you've made an Ibru Shonu, you've added a year to the calendar. Why? Because it worked out mathematically. But what does it mean to me? It means the Gediyim are taken care of. You've been Mechallel Shabbos. Why? Because I need to know what the Rosh Chodesh is. But what does it make a difference to me? Shluchin, it means you can go out at the right time, you don't have to rush, and everything works out alright. So we give a human dimension to it. This is the way Tosfos learns it. In turn, I ask Tosfos, my time the Masnissin the Nishnei v'Tishrei at Shishma would be based in Mekudash. Yes, Milton, this is your question. Why does the Mishnah say that you need to hear Mekudash for Tishrei and Nisan? Bishlomo hecha de nire be'alul be'yom chof teso be'leil lamed. I understand where the new moon is seen during the daytime of the 29th or the 9th of night of the 30th. Afagav de vada yekadshu be'ezdin lamochor. Even though Beis Din will be Mekadish the Chodesh the next day, that's the 30th. Ein Yoitzin Olov La'alter, we don't let the Edim go out yet. Chayshinan Dima Dilma Mimlechi Beis Din Ma'abrile. We're afraid Beis Din might change their mind and for some reason or other decide to be Ma'abrile the Chodesh even though the month was seen earlier. So Beis Din have the freedom to do that for certain reasons. And since we're not 100% sure, there is the possibility that they'll say, although we saw Rosh Chodesh last night, Rosh Chodesh will only be tomorrow. For example, because of the Arovas on Shabbos, or whatever the reason would be.
They have to sleep on it. In other words, it's almost like we're saying, under certain circumstances, although Beis Din may have enough to technically make a decision.
Right. There might be other factors that come into bear, and therefore we don't want them going out with false information before we're 100% sure. Yes. So just understand that.
This is a Tishrei problem.
That will mess up the Yom Tovs. But what happens if they weren't Mekadosh Yom Lamed? So they weren't Edim and they were not Mekadosh. It can only be the 31st. There's no way that they can allow them, that Rosh Chodesh could be later than the 31st. So on the night of the 31st, right after the 30th, the Edim should be able to go. What do they have to wait and hear Mekudosh for? That's Tosfos's kasha. Okay, does everybody get the kasha? Answers Tosfos, B'yesh Lama. The Gozru Hai Atu Hai. This is a Gezeira. So it's not a distinguish, not a confused people. Other months, when do you go out? Other than Tishrei and Nisan, you may go out on the night before. Tishrei and Nisan, we say you may not go out until you've heard Mekudosh. Now if we're going to make it further, but sometimes even Tishrei and Nisan you can go out if you haven't heard Mekudosh, that gets too confusing. Then people don't understand the reason. It's better to say Tishrei and Nisan, you better hear Mekudosh, the other months you don't have to hear Mekudosh. makes the halacha very clear. So sometimes the Chazal do that. They go zeh atu zeh. They introduce a gzeira for one situation in order to cover another situation. That's how Tosfos answers it. Now the Minchas Chinuch asks four questions. Now I'm going to run through the four questions. Some of them we've already had. The first question is, he asks, why did Chazal say, we know there's a mitzvah to be Mekadesh Al Ruhiyah, is that right? Is that a mitzvah d'oraisa?
Yes,
mitzvah d'oraisa. If the Eidim don't come on Shabbos, not in Nisan and Tishrei, other months, they don't come on Shabbos, are Beis Din going to be Mekadesh Al Piyah Ruhiyah? No, they won't. How will they be Mekadesh Al Piyah Ruhiyah? They won't.
Well, they can still be Mekadesh Al Piyah Ruhiyah that's not from outside the tomb, right?
Yeah, but let's say they're no Eidim inside the tomb, so they depend. Now the question is, either we're going to allow Eidim to come and we'll be Mekadesh Al Piyah Ruhiyah, or we won't allow Eidim to be come and we won't be Mekadesh Al Piyah Ruhiyah. What should they do you think? Where have you got other precedents of that?
Are you talking about a case of the
30th
of Shabbos?
Yes.
Nobody comes,
so
Mekadesh for Sunday, right?
So, yeah, so it will be not Mekadesh Al Piyah Ruhiyah. Will be not Mekadesh Apiyariya, so they've missed the mitzvah d'oraisa. What about Bruce Miller? We don't say if it falls on Shabbos, do it on Sunday. We say there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do it on Shabbos. So you do it on Shabbos, even if it entails Chilul Shabbos. Because an Aseh do Chiloi Ta'aseh. So here too, there's an Aseh, there's a positive mitzvah of the Kadesh Apiyariya, and there's a negative mitzvah of Chilul Shabbos. We should push aside the Chilul Shabbos in favor of the Riyah. So the first thing the Minchas Chinuch asks is, why generally don't we allow it? Why did Chazal forbid the Chilul Shabbos when there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to be Mekadesh Al Piyah Ruhiyah? Question number one. Question number two. And if so, why did they make an exception for Nisan and Tishrei? Because we've learned that Beis Din, whenever they make it, becomes the Rosh Chodesh. So if it's so serious that we don't want people to be Mekadesh Shabbos, even Kedei Lekadesh Al Ruhiyah, then they shouldn't come Tishrei and Nisan either. And Beis Din will make whatever day they want to make it, and if it's wrong, so bad. Too bad. Well, who cares if it's wrong? They'll get it right in the following month. Meanwhile, that's the day, whatever day they fix. So either way, if Shabbos is so important, why allow it on Tishrei and Nisan? If Rosh Chodesh is so important, why not allow it every month? Asked the Minchas Chinuch. The third one is Tosfos' question, at least for Tishrei, why come onto the whole thing of the Shluchim? We've got the problem with Hoshanah Rabbah. Why doesn't the Mishnah mention that? That's a much bigger problem. And the fourth one is this last question, and the Minchas Chinuch is not satisfied with Tosfos' answer. This answer is because we don't want to confuse people and mix people up. At the end of the day, there's no way Rosh Chodesh can be any longer than the 31st day. Mm-hmm. If there was no Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, and it's important that the Eidim get out, let them go that day, let them go immediately, and we wouldn't need Chilul Shabbos for that reason. Those are the four kashes of the Minchas Chinuch. Let the Shluchim go out before they hear Mekudosh, and then they can go out in the night already. Those are the four kashes. Let's explore what would happen if the din was that if Eidim came on Sunday, weird case, well, let's put an absurd case to you, but at least it will deal with the four questions. That if Eidim come on Sunday, and they say, sorry, we couldn't come yesterday, it was Shabbos, but we saw the new moon yesterday.
Ah.
Right? Or let me make it even worse than that. Eidim come on Monday, and they say, yeah, sorry, we couldn't come on Shabbos, and on Sunday we were at the beach, we had a family, we're coming now.
It was in Gaza.
But we want to tell you that there was a Chodesh on Shabbos. So what's happened meanwhile? That we brought a korban on Sunday, and we've sent shluchim out and all sorts of things, and they come along and they tell us now that the experiential evidence was Shabbos, and we knew by our cheshbon also it should have been Shabbos. So now we know mathematically it should have been Shabbos, and we've got Eidim that it was Shabbos. The problem is the Eidim are late, but in Hilchos Eidus, where does that matter? And Hilchos Eidus, all Eidus is about the past, isn't it? 6 months ago, A murdered B. Doesn't have to be yesterday. What difference does it matter when it was?
Nothing you can do about it. They declared it.
So now the question is, if Beis Din is declared it, well, there's nothing we can do about it. So what I'm now questioning is...
Are we talking about Nisan or are we talking about...
Anytime.
Let's start anytime. Are we going to say that once Beis Din have declared that that's Rosh Chodesh, or are we going to say that synchronization of the mathematical information and the experiential information is so paramount that even if we synchronize it late, it retrospectively invalidates what Beis Din did, because they weren't synchronized when they did it. It was a complete mistake. And although the Gemara says, Atem afilu mezidim, even if the Beis Din deliberately declares the wrong day, but not if there are edim and mathematical synchronization, then maybe they're not free to do it. Let's look at the Minchas Chinuch's four questions, and if this were true. So what was the first question? Why did the Chachomim not allow Chilul Shabbos on the other days? And why was it not treated like a Bris Milah? Well, I could say because we don't need them to be Mechal Shabbos, because they could come on Sunday. If we can do it retrospectively, why should they be Mechal Shabbos? They can come on Sunday and say, we saw the moon yesterday.
All right, and then this one will actually make sense, because we had to send out the Shluchim.
No, the whole thing will make sense. Right. Everything here will make sense. Let's go to the next one. Why would they go as Nisan and Tishrei? Even if the Edim don't come, who cares when they establish Rosh Chodesh? Well, that's fine if Edim don't come ever. Then Beis Din can do what they want. But what happens if Beis Din declare Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, and a week later the Edim come and say it was Shabbos? That would be a problem. So maybe that's why they do have to come on Shabbos. Tosfos's question... What about the Yom HaRovah? We should be worried about Hoshana Rabbah. How does that work now? So now, if they come, no, what's it to be worried about Hoshana Rabbah? They won't come on Shabbos, so we'll declare Sunday Rosh Chodesh. But we probably won't declare Sunday, because they'll come on Sunday. We'll wait for them. They'll come on Sunday and they'll say, we saw it yesterday.
But why would you wait for them?
Because they might come, because they weren't allowed to come on Shabbos. But you assume you've worked out mathematically it had to be Shabbos,
but if no one comes,
so you don't allow them to come on Shabbos. Well, in any case, you're going to have to make it Shabbos retrospectively, because you can't have Rosh Hashanah Rabbah on Shabbos. So wait for Sunday, let the Edim come on Sunday, and then you have your Mekadosh Al Pi HaRe'iyah. The question is, can you be Mekadosh Al Pi HaRe'iyah retrospectively, backwards? And the last kasha is, why can't the Shluchim go out in a case where Edim didn't come on the 30th,
and
they didn't hear Mekudesh? Why can't they go out? Because you know it's going to be tomorrow.
No, you don't know it's going to be tomorrow.
It might be yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you're only looking future, then it can only be tomorrow. It can't be any other day. But if you can look past, then it could have been yesterday as well. So everything would work out very well if we could say something as absurd as that you can be Mekadesh the Makreya. Let me read you a Rambam. Syria, we're going to come into... We're going to start in the next... Gemara, we're going to deal with cases where they attack it, didn't they? We'll get into quite a mess with Syria. Beis Din Shiyoshvu Kol Yoim Shloshi, says the Rambam. Halacha Tesvov of Perek Gimel. Beis Din, who sat all day on the 30th, and Edim didn't come. Ishkimu benefesh, beneshef, and they got up early the next morning. That's day 31. Ve'ibru es achodesh, and they made it Rosh Chodesh. Va'achar arbo chamisho yomim, and 4 or 5 days later, bo Edim rechoikim, Edim came from a long distance away. Ve'heidu shero es achodesh bezman ashur leil shloshim, and they give evidence that they saw the new moon on the 30th. Ve'afilu bo b'soif achodesh, and even if they came at the end of the month, like the 20th of the month. Rambam's pushing. Don't forget, in Halacha, remember, I've always just defined Gemara to you is we push the limits to the. We see how far we push because we're testing Halacha.
That's not pushing the limits. Talking about a supernova that happened several light years away, and we still see it in the sky, and it's already gone.
Well, that's as far as the empirical. That's why we've got mathematical evidence to counteract it. So now the question is, if the mathematical evidence is it should be the 30th, but Edim didn't come, so we made it the 31st. And much later the Eidim came along, and the Eidus coincides with our mathematical information. Ma'aymin aleihim iyum godol. We warn them and we threaten them amazingly to make sure that they're not telling a lie. U'matrifin oisom b'sheilos, and we drive them crazy with questions. U'matrichin aleihim b'vdikus, and we drive them crazy with cross-examination. U'medaktikim b'eiduson, and we're very meticulous with their Eidus. U'mishtadlin b'ezdin shlo yekad shechodesh zeh. And since the month has already been determined as a mu'uber, Beis Din goes out of its way to try and destroy the evidence of these two aidim. But what if im omdu aidim beidusim? What is if Beis Din couldn't destroy them? They stand.
Sounds like that. What sense? What to go back?
The aidim. They can't pull the aidim together. The pieces. The aidim's evidence is clear. They can't destroy it. The nimtzeis mechuvenis. The aidim is. The two witnesses are aligned. It's aligned with the mathematical calculation. And the Eidim are well-known people, and they're Chachomim, and they're Tamidei Chachomim. And the Eidus, the evidence was cross-examined as is fit. You retroactively clear Rosh Chodesh on day 30 and you undo the calendar, says the Rambam. Same thing.
So everybody was Mechal al-Chad.
So now we have an interesting situation. So firstly, let's just look at the Rambam. So what the Rambam has said is we can go retroactively. Everybody asks on this Rambam, what's their kasha?
How
could you possibly do that?
No, where from? Where does he get this from? There's no Gemara like this. Says the Mincha Chinuch, that's the only way you can learn this Gemara.
Yeah,
like the Rambam. If you don't learn this like the Rambam, then you're stuck with a whole lot of questions. And that's the source. Now there is a Yerushalmi which seems to imply like the Rambam. The Rishash learns it from another place. Have a look at Chof Hei Amud Aleph. On the end of the second line of Chafei Amud Aleph, the Oid, this is a Mishnah. Bo Shnaim v'omru, two came along and they said, Re'inuhu bizmano. We saw the new moon, bizmano. What does that mean? Which is what?
On the right day.
Day 30. Zmano always means day 30. When the Mishnah or the Gemara says Zmano, it means day 30.
You only need witness to tell you it was on the 31st.
Right. So they came, they said, we saw it on the 30th. Uvelel Iburoi, and on the night of Ibur, what night is that?
31.
Night 31, Loinire. There's no sign of it. The Kiblon Rabban Gimliel, and Rabban Gimliel accepted it.
Wow.
Asked the Rishash, when did they come?
They must have come
on day 31.
Right.
And yeah, they must have come day 31, because otherwise what's the relevance of Rabban Gamliel? Of course we would have accepted it. If they came on day 30 and said we saw a Shredish last night, why would Rabban Gamliel not accept it? The Chiddush is that he accepted it even though on day 31 it wasn't visible. That means they came on day 31. Now if you look at the Rashi has a slightly different Girsa. What's Rashi's Girsa? Void, and furthermore, do you see that Rashi? It's about 12 lines on the top of the page, the beginning of the line. Void bo, can you see that?
Yes.
Void, and this is now, it's quoting from the Mishnah. Bo shnaim v'omru re'inihu bizmano, says Rashi. What does that mean? Beyom shloshim. Doesn't say beleil shloshim. He says we saw it on day 30. Veleil shloshim, and on night 30. Shayu metzapim bezin v'am shetehe megula v'yeruah me'acha sheidim ruah b'yoyim lo niru lehem. It wasn't seen.
So it's not the 31st anymore now, it's the 30th.
So he says, not v'lel iburoi, he says v'lel shloshim. Okay.
So how does that change it as opposed to...
It's b'yoyim shloshim and v'lel shloshim. And v'lel shloshim. So they saw it on the day...
Maybe when
comes before it,
well, so you've got to probably say, according to Rashi, Leil Shloshim is late that afternoon. They saw it already on the daytime. So right late that afternoon, it should have been clear. They saw it on day 30. So they saw it on the morning of 30. So when should Rosh Chodesh be? That night, 30. That day. Should have been that very day.
Even the previous night, right?
The previous night and that day. The night, it doesn't matter. There's no korban on the night. So it should be that day. So let's say they see it on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is the day 30. They say, we saw the moon in the morning. So we look, everybody looks, they can't see it. So they decide they'll wait until just before sunset. Surely then they'll see the moon again. And they can't see it. That's how Rashi learns
it. For a new moon would never be up in the morning. It would only be up in the afternoon and the night.
I don't know that that's
no,
it can be at any time. Sometimes the moilad can be...
Really? The new moon?
Yeah.
If you look at the times of the moilad...
The side of the earth?
No, the moon is with the sun on a new moon.
The moon
and the sun are together.
If you look at the times of the moilad, you'll see that there are various different times of the day.
Sundown is about mid-time.
No, sundown. That's the whole, which you didn't go into, the whole thing about seeing it on the night before is you want to see it just as the sun sets. There's a short window before the moon sets after the sun where it will become clear.
And then rises again.
Right.
The next
it's
morning.
Much less likely to see it then because then you have the sun in the way.
So Rashi, in order to avoid the Rosh Hashanah problem, has a different girsa. Or I don't know whether he has it in order to avoid it, or there are just two girsas in the Mishnah. So maybe all of these people who question the Rambam have Rashi's girsa. The Rosh Hash, using our girsa, says that's another proof for the Rambam. So we have this, the Mishnah according to this girsa, and we have...
The Rosh Hash was the one who funded the Gemara, right?
The Rosh Hash was?
He was the one who funded the Gemara.
That's right.
He funded it, he got his parish, right?
I think you're right about that, yeah. So it might have been his particular girsa. So the Rosh Hash says, you've got a Rosh Hash at the back of your Gemara, but you're the only one, I think, who has one. You'll have a Rosh Hash at the back of your Gemara, you'll have the Rosh Hash. And you, if you want to have a look inside it even, the others can do it for homework, but if you look on the Rosh Hash, it's probably page 12 of the, just at the end of Rosh Hashanah, not right at the end of the whole volume, the end of just the Rosh Hashanah section. You should have some Perushim there. Go to the end of Rosh Hashanah, right? What have you got there?
Page 12, okay.
And on have a look at page 12. If it's the same as mine, it'll be on page 12. You'll have a Rosh Hash. Does it say Rosh Hash at the top there? That's right, Kiddush HaRosh Hash.
Yeah.
Okay, second column of that page, down at the bottom, Tav Kafei, do you see? That's it. The Mishnah of Oid, Bo Shnaim Vomru Reinu, Bizmana Valeli Buroi, right? Valeli Buroi Loi Nire, then leave out the parenthesis. The Kiblon. You've got the Rosh Hashanah in there. That's great. The Kiblon Rabban Gamliel. Mashma, it implies. Can you see that in the Rosh Hashanah? After the parenthesis. Mashma, the Kiblon Achar Leil Iburoi. It implies that he received the Eidus after the 31st, the night of the Ibur, the night of the 30th, 31st. Haimi Biyoim Lamed Aleph. He received the Eidim on the day of the 31st. Lekadesh lemafreya is yom alamed. To retrospectively be mekadesh yom alamed. Umize ulay yatzalila Rambam mashikosov. And maybe this is the source of the Rambam, says the Rosh Hash. So the first thing everybody yells at the Rambam about is where do you get it from? So we have two sources. The Minchas Chinuch shows there's no other way to learn our Gemara and the Tosfos. The Rosh Hash says the Mishnah on Daf Chafei also seems to imply, like the Rambam, certainly according to our girsa, although not according to Rashi's girsa. And there's a Yerushalmi which also seems to apply at the plain Moshe. And the Yerushalmi says that the Yerushalmi is also a source for the Rambam, but we don't have to go as far as the Yerushalmi. We've got sources here. But what's important, what's so interesting for us, is now this concept that you could have, what you've got to now try and picture in your mind when we talk about the relativity of time, is a situation where up till a certain point in time, Yom Kippur is on Tuesday, and from a certain point in time, Yom Kippur is on Monday. But that means up to that time, it was on Tuesday. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's say the Eidim came and they said Rosh Chodesh is on whatever day, which made Yom Kippur on Tuesday. And comes Yom Kippur, we don't have any witnesses. Sorry, Eidim didn't come. Eidim didn't come, we made it the 31st day, and let's say that made Yom Kippur on Tuesday. At that moment in time, Tuesday was Yom Kippur. The next day, Eidim come and say, Rosh Chodesh was the day before. From that day onwards, Rosh Chodesh was on Monday.
Even though everybody kept it on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, and when they kept it, Tuesday was Yom Kippur. That's what you've got to understand in your mind.
What if the Eidim came on the 9th of Tishrei? They didn't show up until the 9th, and they said, oh, really, today is the 10th, but they come at the end of the 9th.
We're going to have a case very similar to that.
It's also nice philosophically, because the way we really understand events, it's always through hindsight. Our history is very different from when the event's happening than when we look at it a month or two down the road, or a year or two down the road.
You're right, so it can happen that the way you're experiencing it at the time is completely different from the way you're going to experience it later on. And that time can be established, that not only time, because don't forget, with time, the way we've learned this whole thing, comes reality, comes nature. Don't forget, all the things that we've been discussing the last few shiurim that are dependent on this. Women's periods and the animals and the tides and all sorts of things are impacted not only by the physical reality, but by the halachic reality of time setting. So the fact is that the mitzius can be one until a certain point, and from there on, retrospectively, mitzius gets redefined. Reality gets redefined backwards.
Can you retroactively throw out Eidim?
Once you've accepted Eidim, if you found there was a psul. If you find out later on that they were relatives, and therefore the Eidus was false,
right.
I think that's the case where you'll say, Afilu Mutin. Beit Din made a mistake, but we leave it where it was. But this is not so much Beit Din made a mistake. Beit Din didn't have the information in time, and they based it on information they didn't have. Later on, the information comes. Now, philosophically also, we won't get into this now, and that's for another time, but where this is very important is Rabbi Yoshua Ben Soloveitchik has an amazing concept that I think I've used before in Shurim here, and that is that we like to think of the future as being an outcome of the present. That's linear thinking. That's it. There's a past influence the present, and the present will influence the future. And he has a whole philosophic section where it's the other way around. Your future influences your present.
Yeah. Is that with Gerus also, that if somebody became a Ger and later they reneged on it or something, that it would invalidate it?
That's a little bit different, because then you're invalidating it from the beginning and you're saying it never was. Here we're not doing that. We're not saying it was never on that day. We're saying when you kept Yom Kippur, that was Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So to invalidate something retrospectively, we do that often.
Yeah.
But to say that up till that point, this was the reality, and from now on, reality shifts, that's a new concept. And its philosophic implication is that the future can impact the past, and can impact the present. That you actually don't know, I mean, it was what you were touching on, when you were saying that in a sense you don't know about the present until you've got some retrospective. And the whole idea of using a vision of a future to determine a present, that your present can be driven by your vision of the future rather than create a vision of the future out of the present. And there are all sorts of interesting philosophic implications of this. But halakhically, what we have here is an amazing idea that that Rosh Chodesh can, it's not just that you can undermine it retrospectively, it's that until now this was Rosh Chodesh. From now, this was no longer Rosh Chodesh.
But everybody who kept Rosh Chodesh on that day
was right, because at that time that was Rosh Chodesh. The reality at that time was A. The reality now is different,
even for that time,
and that changes the future, but it doesn't change the past.
Were witnesses at that time? Could you only be witness within the land of Israel? Would they allow a witness in Greece?
I don't think so. I think the Levana had to be seen in Eretz Israel.
Then you had to bring in Yafet.
I think that had to be seen in Eretz Israel. Now, what we're going to be doing in the next piece, if you want to prepare the next piece of Gemara Tzedakah Chof Aleph, is what we're going to be looking at. And there we're going to see something very interesting. That's Chof Aleph on with Aleph. Right. Next week, again, it's going to be in the evening, Monday evening. July the 4th weekend. So it's again going to be Monday evening. Chof Aleph from the top line, Levi Ikla Lebovel. Levi came to Bovel on the 11th of Tishrei. Just three or four lines and the Tosfos. the top left-hand Tosfos. If you want to prepare ahead, and what we're going to be doing there is just as we've now said, you can draw a line in time and say up until this time, this day was Rosh Chodesh, and from this time, that day was Rosh Chodesh. You can do the same in place and say in a certain place this was Rosh Chodesh, in another place something else was Rosh Chodesh. The only difference here is, what is the difference when you do it with place and with time?
You have multiple.
Different people.
Well, you're two people.
At time, everyone's keeping the same time.
Right,
same
that's one difference.
Keeping
yes, now you can have the same person crossing the barrier.
Right.
In time, you can't have that. Everybody's right. In one framework, and then everybody's in another framework. Here, you can actually have like time zones. Now, you can have one person who was there on Yom Kippur on Monday,
and
crosses that time barrier and finds himself in a place where Yom Kippur is on Tuesday.
Like they have that with Torah readings in Israel and America, right?
Right, but there it's not so serious.
But when you were in an airplane and you were flying 2,000 miles an hour as fast as the earth is turning.
And you start catching up with time. With those kind of issues.
Right,
it's a little bit like that. So tonight we dealt with the concept of a division down in time, which meant up until a certain time, day one was Yom Kippur. From then onwards, day one was no longer Yom Kippur, day two was Yom Kippur. And what we'll deal with next week is up to a certain point in a place. Day one is Yom Kippur, from a certain boundary on, day two is Yom Kippur. And are they both valid, and what happens if you cross those boundaries?
A thought that came to me, the whole reason that when the witnesses come late, that we go and change it retroactively, is that because we care so much about not discouraging the witnesses, we don't want to say...
The Rambam defines the mitzvah to be mekadesh al pi hariyah, that if there's any way that you can use the Eidim, you have to do so, even if it means retrospective.
So it has nothing to do with discouraging witnesses or making them feel bad and seem capable.
We wouldn't make such a tumult. We wouldn't create such an enormous confusion just for that.
Some of this is dealt with more straightforowardly in Tractate Megillah, right, where you celebrate Purim by place, the date.
But those are two different Yom Tovs. There's Purim and there's Shushan Purim. So it's not as if the 14th is in one day, it's a certain time, and the 14th, Purim is on the 14th in some days, and it's on the 15th in other places. So it's not the date it's the date of Purim, it's not the day. Sorry?
It's how you celebrate Purim.
It's when you celebrate Purim, it's not the date, the actual time that is changed. It's not that in this day it's the 14th, and in this place it's the 15th. In this day, it's the 14th in both places, but you celebrate Purim on the 14th here, and you celebrate Purim on the 15th there. So Purim will be celebrated on different days because they're two different Purims. There's Shushan Purim and there's regular Purim. That's different. This is very unique. This situation of the Rambam is totally unique. There's nothing like it anywhere in the Torah.